Doula Dispensary, the podcast prescribing a weekly dose of all things doula. The dilemmas discussed are made-up scenarios, and any resemblance to actual persons or events are purely coincidental. Please welcome your hosts, Siobhan and myself, Kiki.
Hi, Kiki. Hello, everybody.
Hello, listeners out there.
And welcome to episode 13. I'm lucky for some.
But lucky for us.
Yes.
So, how's your week been, Siobhan?
It's been good. It's been quite eventful.
Yes.
Lots happening. Quite an eventful doula work going on and... Yeah, interesting week. Yeah.
That's good.
What about you?
Well, I had most of last week I was teaching in London.
Oh, yes, your 100th doula course.
My 100th doula course. How many times have we managed to mention that
Let's
now?
See how many times we can drop that in this episode.
And that was really nice. There were some doulas came to the little drinks evening I had. And it was really nice because Natalie and Tara here in Hertfordshire came all the way down to Southwest London. So that I really appreciate that. And we had a few drinks and a little chat.
Nice.
And then I have busy planning for the future of Birth Bliss Academy. Really exciting things.
Exciting times ahead.
Yes.
So your 100th course.
Yes.
How many doulas is that you've now trained in your entire career as a doula trainer?
It is, I think it was 862.
Wow. 862?
Yes, I know.
That's like twice the Doula UK membership.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a lot of doulas, Kiki.
I know. Most doulas, I think. But obviously there's a lot of doulas also that have not come through my courses. But it's exciting. Yeah, really, really cool.
Very cool. So really good week then for
you.
Yes,
it has been really good.
Yeah.
It's been very cold as well.
It has, hasn't it? The temperature really has dropped this week.
But I prefer it cold and no rain.
Well, you would do. You're Scandi.
But it's nice and cozy here in my log cabin
isn't it? The she shed is really lovely and cozy and warm. And I've got my very own chair, which is great.
With a nice sheepskin on it.
A nice sheepskin throw.
And I got some little candles that are electrical.
Yes, they look really
good. It's
nice. It's really cozy in here. Really cozy.
Setting the mood, getting ready for...
We just need a reindeer in the garden and that would be it. We'd be made.
I do occasionally get a fox run by.
Oh, okay.
So watch out for him. He's really quite big.
Right, shall we crack on with the show?
I think we better.
Okay. Right, so now it's time for...
Doula Dilemmas! Why do you always have to giggle after that?
I do like the fact that we sing that.
I know.
Can't say it any other way now.
No.
Right, okay. So let's have a listen or let's see what this week's dilemma is. Okay, so this week, a doula has a client questioning the value and importance of the antenatal sessions she provides as part of her birth doula package. The client doesn't see this as essential as she's already booked to attend a private antenatal course with other couples. Mm-hmm. The client is asking to remove these sessions and receive a discount on the doula's fee. Interesting dilemma.
You do that so well, Siobhan.
Gee, thanks.
Oh, poor doula.
Mm.
She must be feeling really, really undervalued.
Absolutely, undervalued is definitely the word.
So let me ask you,
Siobhan. Oh, here we go.
What would you do in this situation?
Well, I've had this situation.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it was negative. They were just, exploring their options, questioning. Okay. So I didn't really see that as... I didn't feel like I was being undervalued. I just felt like I was being questioned, which is I think is fair enough when you're investing that kind of money.
Yes.
I think it's fair enough to ask those questions. Mm-hmm. But I explained that our sessions are... very important.
Yes.
Because I fill in any gaps that there might be from their course.
Yeah.
But also it's personalised to them.
Yes.
You know, how are we going to work together as a team?
Mm-hmm.
What sorts of things can perhaps me and if she has a partner, what can we do to help support her?
Yeah.
What does she think she might like, dislike? You can't cover those kind of things in a group course.
No, absolutely.
You can't stop a group course and ask questions specifically regarding your care and what you need.
No.
So you can cover all of that in the sessions.
Yeah. And very, very true. But picking up on that, sometimes you do get those couples or women in the group sessions that will make it about them.
Yeah.
And then the whole session or a big part of that, because most of them are, what, a couple of hours every evening?
Yeah, they're
or
only
something
about
like
2 hours. Yeah.
Exactly. So if one person takes up a lot of time asking their own questions,
yeah,
you know, the knowledge in that session that the teacher has trained is not going to be covered.
No, but yeah.
So you miss out.
Absolutely. And that's down to a good facilitator, though, yeah, isn't it? Being able to bring it back on track. But they do have a lot of content to get through, which it is rushed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I also think, like you say, it's not just about education. Those antenatal sessions we do with our clients are definitely not kind of sit down, bring all your PowerPoint slides and, you know.
Well, they're not really antenatal. They're not classes, are
no,
they?
No, no, exactly.
It's not really about that.
No.
It's about how you're going to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to know each other. You use those sessions to get to know
yeah,
each other.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's really quite handy if your clients do go to antenatal preparation.
Oh, definitely.
And you still need to explain how important it is that you have these individual sessions with your doula to, like you say, clarify things. There's so many things that come up in those some antenatal classes that actually aren't factually correct.
Yeah.
As well. So that's quite worrying. Also, I know we put a lot of emphasis on birth physiology, you know, for women to understand that this is, you know, to give birth is something you're born with.
Yeah.
And yes, I know most often it depends on the antenatal classes, I guess, but how much in depth do they talk about that? Because for me, that's all you really need to understand well. And then anything on top of that is just information. So you can make informed choices. It's not actually going to make the birth any one way or another.
No.
But you need to know your options and choices, don't you? Otherwise, you can't make an informed
choice. And also what the beauty of having an antenatal session with a doula is,
mm-hmm,
we've attended births.
Exactly. So that's a massive one.
It's a massive one. Yeah. If you're, you know, if you're having your antenatal education by somebody who doesn't attend births regularly, yes, then they're not necessarily going to be au fait with, you know, what the reality is of what happens when you go into hospital.
And at the same point, if you are a healthcare professional, then you're going to see birth from a very different angle.
A very different point of view,
So, because then you're often tied, or you follow guidelines that then trust is put down. And it becomes, not all the time, but it's slightly different. While as doulas, we can be completely, you know, objective in the information we give.
Absolutely, yeah. So those sessions are really important. Mm.
So how would you approach that? I mean, with a client that says, oh, I don't think I need to do those because I'm already doing antenatal. What? How? You know? How would you say no? You have to.
I would just say that.
Well, actually, you have to, or you're not going to have me as your doula.
No, I genuinely wouldn't be able to, you know, unless, you know, if it's a repeat client of mine that I've worked with before, then we do tend to just have one session where we get together, you know, chat about things. We'll just have one kind of big session.
Yeah.
And won't necessarily have two.
Yeah, that's the same as I do.
But absolutely, with a client I've never worked with before, we have to have those two sessions. And if you don't want them, then I'm sure there'll be a doula somewhere in the world that you can book that doesn't mind you not having any sessions.
I think that's a really clear way of saying what you stand for, what your boundaries are, that you say that maybe that this is an important thing to discuss before you actually book me, because this is how I work. And there's all doulas work differently. And like you say, maybe I can help you find another doula. I also think those antenatal sessions are so important that the other heart, if there's going to be another birthing partner there, that they're there, at least one of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I made that mistake of having...
I've been there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're in the birth situation and you're like, oh no,
why did I not listen to that little voice in my head? Or, you know, take notice of that red flag waving in front of me.
Exactly. Because the number one thing why they don't turn up.
Yeah. Or, what? You know, when they're completely disengaged.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
Or so. Looking at their watch.
Yeah.
I've had that. Have you had that before?
Looking at the watch,
something
yeah.
looking at, and they're not even discreet.
Or having some sport on in the background on the
TV. Yeah, the TV on. Yeah. I've had that before.
Yeah.
Really, you know, obvious.
I think they do it on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
It's on
there was
purpose,
nothing so. Discreet. There wasn't a little like moving the sleeve up of the shirt to have a look. It was a deliberate,
let a big sigh as well.
Let me look at my yeah. And I've ignored that before. Yeah. And it's, you know, it hasn't bowed well.
No.
In the birth.
So that's another reason why you must have those antenatal sessions with your clients. And
but I've had it since where they've looked at, you know, someone's looked at a watch
really?
And I stopped.
What did you do?
I said, have you got somewhere to be? No, because I'd been there before and it was a trigger for me. Yeah. It triggered me.
What was his answer?
He was mortified. Because I pulled him on it.
I bet you got his attention after that.
I totally got his attention after that. Yeah.
So that's another way of doing things.
Yeah, but that really triggered me. And I just literally stopped right in the middle of a sentence. Yeah. I went, have you got somewhere more important to be?
Oh, my God. You're so funny. It's true, though.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah. And I thought, you know what? I've been here before.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy to give you your money back at this point.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going through that again.
Yeah, and that is true. Because we do read about those stories where doulas have been in a situation where they knew at their initial meetings or things were coming up that
something doesn't feel right. Yeah,
exactly.
And you always have to listen to your instincts.
Yeah, you do that more. When you start off, though, you do want the work. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. And you want to please everybody. And you
exactly.
think, even though you know that there's a bit of an issue, you think, well, I can make it better.
Exactly.
I can change it, but you can't.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's a fact.
So, yeah, hopefully that's...
some food for thought. And I think we'll leave this week's dilemma there. So, it's time for...
Question time! So, let's have a listen to this week's question,
which is from Jess.
Hi, Siobhan and Kiki. Thank you so much for your hilarious podcast each week. It really makes my Friday morning dog walk a lot more enjoyable, even though I do get the odd funny look off people when I'm laughing away to myself each week. My question is, I've got a new client who has told me that she will be declining all vaginal examinations during labour due to a previous trauma. She has said that she'd rather not disclose this to me, what the trauma was, which is obviously 100% her right if she doesn't want to talk about it. My worry is, though, that this is her first labour and that this trauma may also affect her elsewhere in labour, and things like any language used by midwives might trigger her. But without knowing what the trauma is, I might not be able to support her in the right way. If you can give me any advice on how I could handle this, I would really appreciate it.
Right, okay, so there is this week's question from
wow.
Jess. Wow, yes.
My mind is just going mad right now. Because, yes, if someone... declining vaginal examinations, completely fine, but due to trauma and not knowing the trauma, that's... In a way, it shouldn't make any difference if you know or not. But I can totally see why you would feel better prepared if you knew what it was. But to be honest, she's at least told.
Yeah.
Jess has at least said, have the knowledge that there was trauma.
Yes.
You know, that's a really good start.
And actually,
you do not need to know the details of the trauma.
No.
So the things you could do, I guess, in some of the antenatals, I mean, you've had that discussion already, so you don't really want to keep going back to say, bring up the trauma.
The great thing is, though, Jess, is the fact that she's even disclosed that
exactly.
to you.
That's wonderful.
Clearly does have trust in you to even just tell you that much about it.
Exactly.
And that you should see as, like, that's a real privilege that... she feels she can trust you enough to even disclose that.
Yeah. And you might consider in the future, anyone else listening, if someone does say, look, I had a trauma and I just don't want this to happen, like vaginal examinations, that you can tell them, I'm really glad that you told me this, because there are certain things that happen during labour and birth that could be a trigger for someone that has been through a trauma. Yeah. So that doesn't need to mean that it's some kind of sexual abuse issue.
Doesn't necessarily mean sexual abuse, so don't ever assume that's what it means.
So you're saying that to hopefully get the woman to say, okay, so what things could be triggers? And then you could, at that point, say, well, we have access. I mean, there is a trigger list you can go through.
That trigger list is fantastic.
From Penny Simpkins' website. However, I do feel that it's necessary to have some kind of training to go through it.
Yeah.
Because it's the way you do it, because you obviously don't want to trigger someone while you're going through a trigger list.
Exactly.
And you also want to be able how to do that in a genuine and honest way. But you can follow up at the time when someone discloses to you that they have suffered trauma or been part of some trauma in their past, it's a good follow-up question to affirm that yes, there are things in childbirth and afterwards that can be triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully you can work from there. So you don't actually have to know the trauma. You can still go through a trauma trigger list of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you could still suggest that to her, I guess.
Yeah.
But you might want to talk to me first, Jess. We can go through how you would use that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, because you've done the training, haven't you, Kiki?
Yes. So I've done the When Survivors Give Birth Educators Workshop with both Penny Simpkin and Phyllis Klaus in San Diego.
Yeah.
So I am actually certified, whatever you want to say, to give the workshop.
Yeah.
But also,
and I've attended that workshop that you gave, which was fantastic, along with Phyllis.
Yes. No,
it was a really informative.
Yeah, no, it's very, very workshop. Important stuff, because it's not just actually birth, it's afterwards as well.
Yeah.
You know, trauma from a birth or trauma previously, as we know, you've said this before, I think, on the podcast, that birth trauma is not birth.
It's not usually the birth that causes the trauma. It's the trigger.
Exactly.
For something that's happened.
And then you have postnatally things to look out for. You know, some women don't want to look at the baby.
Yeah.
You know, don't want to bond with the baby, don't want to have anything to do with the baby. And that's another time when a doula can step in and look at the situation. What does the mum need right now? Who has she got around her to support her? Maybe give the mum a bit of a break and not forcing the baby on her. You know, which we all think, oh, just put the baby skin to skin.
Yeah.
Some women need to feel a time when they're ready to have that baby rather than forcing it.
Yeah.
So there's a long list of things
and
to think about.
What are the statistics? Is it 1 in 4?
1 in 5, 1 in 4. Yeah, it depends.
So it's like, either 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 women will have experienced some form of trauma.
Yeah, well, they are the sexual abuse survivors.
Sexual abuse.
But then if you think about the Me Too hashtag.
Yeah.
You know, and some kind of sexual violence.
So it could be higher than that.
Absolutely.
So at some point in our careers as doulas, whether they do or don't disclose, we will be supporting survivors.
100%.
And that's why I think this training is so vital, that
it is.
We should have additional training to know how to deal with those situations.
Yes.
Not only to be able to support our clients, but also to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly that. Because there's, you know, you might walk into a situation. So that's another thing Jess should maybe think about. Vicarious traumatization, you know, hearing stories or witnessing things that might traumatize Jess.
Yeah.
So it's important to protect yourself from that. And actually, I think everyone needs to know more about this subject.
Absolutely.
So much so that I wrote a book.
When's that book coming out, Kiki?
Well, the book is out on the 21st of January.
Fantastic.
And it's supporting survivors. And it's like written as a guide for doulas and midwives and other healthcare professionals.
Which is brilliant.
And I had the wonderful help of 15 survivors who helped me.
Right,
with quotes and where they filled out a questionnaire.
Yeah.
So it's very much the survivors themselves speaking in this book, backed up by, of course, all the evidence and research out there. So I'm hoping that's going to be a really good guide for anyone working with women. Mm. It's not just because you will definitely be working with survivors.
And what about, I'm putting you on the spot here, but
thanks.
Is there any time soon that you're thinking of running the survivors workshop?
Well, I'm actually thinking that either I'm going to set it up and run it on my own, but I'm also thinking I might invite Phyllis over. Yeah. Do a combination of, and then I'm thinking, but Phyllis has so much, as in Phyllis Klaus.
And I think maybe you're suffering with a little bit of imposter syndrome.
It may be, possibly.
You can well and truly deliver that workshop yourself.
Yes, I have had requests, and I'm thinking.
And you are highly qualified to do it. You've had the training from Phyllis.
Very true. So I will put a date in the diary next year.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yes, and then I will tell you all when you can come and learn more about it. But yes, Jess, you do not actually need to know what the trauma is to support her.
And you don't need to fix it, Jess. That's the most important thing to remember. You don't need to try and fix it. You just need to be there for her.
Yes, and just by, that's what I was going to say, just by being there, making sure she gets the information, making sure she is part of the whole process. And it could be the case that some women do need to have some form of pain medication. They need to use all the tools that are there.
Yes.
So it's really important that we don't think that this should be a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really important to help her and discuss this beforehand. You could say, ask the questions. Do you think it would be helpful for us to go through some of the things that happens in childbirth, i.e. use the trigger sheet?
Yeah.
Yeah. You could ask her that. You could say, what are there anything that you're more concerned about? Just, there's vaginal examinations. We know that. Anything else that you have some concerns around? So you can ask questions without knowing the trauma, because you knowing what the trauma is isn't really going to
change
it's not going to change anything.
No.
And you will also, I promise you, work with women that won't tell you they have trauma in their past, and then
it
you
comes
will
up in the birth.
Exactly.
You recognize things the way, you know, things the way they react to situations.
That's
you recognize that as potential triggers.
That's it. So I think you really, really need to just ask the right questions.
Definitely. But thank you for that question, Jess. Yeah. It really was a really great question. I'm sure lots of doulas out there have been in this situation or even thought, what would they do in this situation? So thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah, and I just want to add that Penny Simkin and Phyllis Klaus have written a really excellent book that's already available.
Yes.
It's called When Survivors Give Birth. And actually, I have some
copies. It's available to buy where?
Well, I've got copies. I bought a big box. Cost me a lot of money because I also then got charged VAT on top. I don't think they did that on books. But I do have them for sale on my website, on the Birth Bliss Academy store. You can buy yourself
a copy. You can buy a copy there. Brilliant.
They are very good for survivors as well as those of us supporting
Working
survivors.
With them, yeah. Brilliant. Okay. Well, hopefully that's helped, Jess.
Yeah, let us know how that feels. And do get in touch if you want to go through a trigger list.
Yeah, I'll speak to Kiki personally and she'll talk you through it.
Okay.
The Doula Dose, your weekly dose of doula.
Thank you so much, Annabelle, for introducing this week's segment.
Yes, we do like that voice. So, so great.
So posh.
So anyway, Siobhan, what is this week?
This week's
doula dose.
We just spoiled that now.
I know we did.
Yeah, so this week's doula dose is statistics.
Okay, what do you mean by statistics?
Statistics. I said it wrong, yeah.
Statistics.
Right, what I mean is they can be read any way you want them to.
Or given out any way you want someone
exactly.
to.
Exactly, yes.
So when you say, what?
All right, so for example, you are 50% more likely to have X, Y, and Z happen to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You're twice as likely
for
this to happen to you. But the actual relative number could be 0.01%.
Exactly.
So if you're doubling your chances, 50% increased risk, you're increasing that to 0.02%.
Yeah.
So there's still a 99.98% chance of it not happening.
I know.
So it's how you read them, it's how you present them.
Uh-huh.
That has the influence.
Exactly that. Because you could say to someone in a meeting, well, we need you to know that the chances are 1 in 200 women that this happens to.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could say the chances that it's about a 0.5% risk.
Yeah.
Or you could say you are 99.5% likely that this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I've just said the same thing because it's all the same statistic.
It's all the same, exactly.
Like 1 in 200, 0.5 and 99.5%. It's all the same thing. And that is why we really must get better at telling our clients or making sure the clients get the numbers to yes. give the clients that information when they're in a meeting with someone that's giving a statistic or just giving us arbitrary numbers as double the chance,
yeah.
50% increase, double the risk, you're high risk.
Yeah.
Just being high risk, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
They need to have the number. And
they need the actual number. Mm. What is that actual figure?
But when you look at that news last week, I think it was, when they talked about like 50% of women are induced now.
Yes.
I mean, based on what?
Based on what?
Exactly, the increased risk, which is what? We know yeah. statistically, and I've got the figures here, it's like something like after 43 weeks, you're still 99% safe.
Yes.
It's 99.1 instead of 99.6.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you think of that, you're 5 times more likely to die because it's gone up by 0.5 whatever percent. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what women are told.
Yes.
But when actually you're still, you know, if you go out and do your weekly shopping, go in yeah. your car and or drive
you're at
anywhere,
higher risk of something happening to
it's
you.
Actually very similar. Very similar risk.
Not higher?
No, I think it's 0.... What the statistic I read was that it's 1 in 240 chance of having a fatal accident in your lifetime.
Right.
Yeah. Which is 0.54, I guess. Something like that.
I roughly worked it out.
I'll have to
agree
with you
on that.
No, so it's that's the thing. The thing, nothing's in life safe.
No.
Really, you're always
at risk. The only thing we can be 100% sure of is that we will pay tax and we will die.
Yes.
They are the only things we're 100% sure about.
Yeah, but we don't have to pay tax, but then we will go to prison.
Yeah.
But you cannot not die.
Yes. So the only thing we're 100% yeah. sure of is that we will die
yeah.
at some point
yeah, exactly.
in our life.
This is such a morbid discussion.
I know. But yeah, statistics are just, yeah, it can really turn a positive frame of mind
yeah,
into
exactly.
a spiraling negative yeah. thought process.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that should be banned.
Well, I think, yeah.
I think NHS, I think any birth person, any professional should make sure that the statistics and the numbers they're putting across. And actually, to be fair, most of the codes of conduct or behavior or practice, whatever you want to call them, like the obstetricians, the midwives, it's very clearly stated the way they should be doing this. They should give like the statistics in an easy way so the women can understand the pros and cons of any interventions they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they should listen. They can give their medical advice, of course, but then they should listen to what the woman wants to do. And,
yes.
And that is actually very simple. That's informed choice.
Yes.
But that's not happening. And I do kind of understand why that's not happening, because obviously I think a lot of the staff has got...
Well, it's learnt practice, isn't
yeah,
it?
I also think they've got post-traumatic stress. I think a lot of healthcare professionals do not get a chance to, you know, debrief stuff that they see, what happens to them. Obstetricians only see, you know, bad things happening because that's when they're called in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, and then you have this is what we always do, you know, the whole peer thing.
Yeah.
When we know that obstetric guidelines... only about 9 to 11% are based on grade A evidence.
That's right, yeah.
And that was research done by an obstetrician.
Yes.
So, you know, it's quite... Yeah, statistics are used as a tool, I think, to coerce and force women into choosing things that they probably wouldn't have chosen if they'd been given that...
All of the yeah. options, all the actual figures.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I guess the... learning from this would be to always get the relative number.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking per thousand?
Yes.
That's the important thing.
Absolutely.
Get the number.
Not just an increase or double.
Not just a percentage
an increased risk.
Yeah.
And actually, there's some really good website out there called Evidence-Based Birth. That's it. And they have lots of brilliant articles.
Yeah.
On with statistics.
Yeah. There's also Sarah Wickham.
Oh, Sarah Wickham's excellent for kind of dissecting every piece of research, picking it to pieces.
Picking it apart and really looking at it for what it is. Yeah, absolutely.
So those are a couple of resources for you doulas out there.
Yeah, so hopefully that helps.
Yeah.
If anyone was, you know, has come across this before.
I'm sure they have.
I'm sure they have.
Let us know. Again, we've got the Facebook page. We've got an email, thedoulardispensary@gmail.com. So do get in touch. Ba-da-ba-da-ba. So it's time for... Did you swallow a fly?
I wanted to cough before you pressed record.
Oh, sorry, I pressed it.
Okay.
Sweet and sour.
Sour and sweet.
That I'm not cutting that bit out.
No, okay.
Right. So the sweet, let's start with the sweet. The sweet thing is...
We've had over 2,500 downloads
of our podcast.
Thank you so much to everybody that's listening. We really appreciate it.
It really is so nice to know that we might be helping one or two doulas out there to just... think about the things they're doing and have some ideas on what to do moving forward.
Even if you're only listening to see how stupid we are this week, that's, you know, it's great. We'll take it.
Yeah, we don't mind.
We don't care. But and a big shout out to all our listeners in the US of A.
Yeah, we have a growing listening base over there. Obviously, our leaders on the listening board are United Kingdom.
Yes, but closely coming up behind them.
Yeah, we have the United States.
The United States. So, yes, thank you so much to everybody who's listening to us. We do have listeners in... We have listeners in South Africa.
Ireland,
Asia.
United Arab Emirates.
I mean, it's fantastic.
Oman, Spain, Germany.
Senegal. Portugal. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's... And Canada. Let's not forget Canada.
So, please do take to the Facebook page. You know, please keep those ideas coming in. We love hearing what your ideas are for what you'd like us to cover in the show. So please do keep sending those messages to us, because this is as much your podcast as it is ours.
Absolutely. And record questions for us. We really like them to be recorded, because we'd love to include your voice and you being part of the show rather than us just keep reading
waffling
stuff. Absolutely. And on that note,
if you would like to join us,
yes,
we would love to have you in the she shed.
Yeah, in our lovely Birth Bliss Academy HQ. And since if we can fit someone in before Christmas, there might even be some mulled wines and pepparkaka.
What? Pepparkaka.
It's a Swedish ginger snaps.
Oh, okay.
Ginger snaps and mulled wine.
Lovely.
And you can just sit here and look at the reindeers that walk past. I need to hire in some reindeer.
You do. Yeah. So if you have anything you would like to share with our audience, share with us, we would love to have you in the studio.
Yeah.
So please do get in touch and we'll have you on.
So either Facebook or thedoulardispensary@gmail.com. And that's our sweet for this week.
Yay!
And let's move on to the sour.
So obviously, it's been in the news, hasn't it?
Because we pre-recorded last week's episode, the week before. Mm-hmm. And we did kind of say if the sky falls down and we don't talk about it this week, well, last week,
it was because it hadn't happened.
And then this massive news broke over the weekend, last weekend.
Yeah.
About this
mother of daughters, aka
Clemmie Hooper,
and who has been trolling people on her Instagram. Not on her Instagram. She set up
A fake profile on another site.
Oh, it was on some other platform, wasn't it?
Exactly, which is a very toxic platform, from what I understand, where there's a lot of poor people being really slated.
Oh, wow.
It's like your kind of, you think about Facebook and a local page, you know, yeah. like, you know, the local page and it's like, oh, someone's parked on the curb and yeah. everyone's moaning.
Yeah. This what is... time are the bins coming?
Exactly. Yeah. Has someone lost their cat? Yeah. This is more like really sinister stuff.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, I happened to go and have a little look there. And oh. every celebrity or Instagrammer, many of them are absolutely being slagged there. I'm oh, never, really? Ever going back there because obviously I don't want to give them my bandwidth, but I think obviously must be really, really upsetting for a lot of like famous people. Yeah, but I don't know, it's just kind of strange why she did it, you know. It's, why would you even do that for 8 months?
I've no idea. It sounds like she got, you know, she's got caught up in yeah. this fake Instagram world.
Yeah, like it's not real. It's like a virtual world.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't count because no. it's not real. But yes. actually it does count
exactly.
because these are real people that you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Her husband included, apparently. Yes. I don't...
And also, I think the bit trolling and being horrible, but some of the racist things.
Yes, there were some racist comments, wasn't there? Accusing a white, a black woman of playing the race card, yeah. I believe. Is that right?
That's right. Which is quite shocking to think that anyone would
find that acceptable.
Even like hiding behind...
Well, it's a keyboard warrior, yes. isn't it? You're hiding behind... Not only are you hiding behind your keyboard, you're yeah. hiding behind a fake profile.
Exactly.
So you think you are completely... foolproof.
Yeah. I wonder how many fake accounts were deleted after that story broke. When people realised... Because you're not anonymous on the internet unless you know what you're doing and can, you know, pin off your different IP addresses and stuff. Each house has an IP address.
Yeah.
So you will be able to go back. If it's something major...
Yeah. People can find you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, even though it was a fake profile...
Mm-hmm.
They're still her thoughts.
Yes. But aren't there then, you know, the people that are defending her will say, you know, maybe she's not well.
Right.
So maybe there's some mental health issues. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that that's what I think, but that's what people are saying. I don't know. Maybe it's driven her to do that. But still, for 8 months...
8 months is a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, I had absolutely no idea... any of this was going on until the story broke. Oh, I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know anything about this other forum. I'd never heard of it before.
No. I bet they're really pleased with all the...
I can imagine a load of people have gone on there to see what's going on.
Yeah.
But
it's nasty.
Yeah, but it just shows you, doesn't it, what social media can do.
Yeah, so we're actually... the sour bit is basically social media.
Yeah, it is.
How we, you know, how we actually... or not we, but many people kind of live their lives on there.
Mm, yeah. Has she taken ownership of it or?
Well, she did kind of.
I know she released a statement, but I think that wasn't there a lot of influencers who they didn't out her, but they said to her.
Yeah, they did.
Or we will out you. So she was kind of forced.
She wasn't. Yeah, but it's been very quiet since, I think. Are you still following her?
I don't think I've ever followed her. I don't know.
Well, you better go and check.
I better check.
I'm not.
No, I don't think I do follow her. I don't think I do. I don't really remember hearing the name before.
No.
I'm not great on Instagram, if I'm honest with you.
You're not really great on computers. Stop, don't you?
I'm a bit of a dinosaur. I am the kind of person who will actually pick the phone up and talk to someone rather than text. Mm,
Nice.
I am a bit of a dinosaur when it comes to social media. Try my best to get up there, but things like this make me think, do I actually want to delve in that much?
And saying that's a lot of doulas that worry about that they're not pressing on social media enough. And seriously, you don't have to be.
No, well, it's a full-time job, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a full-time job.
It is full. It really is.
Anyway, I think we should leave the sweet and sour there.
That's that for this week,
Let's see what next week's bring.
Let's see what next week's chip paper is.
Exactly, but do you know, it is all to do with Mercury in retrograde.
What?
All this miscommunication, transport problems, data, yeah.
What?
You have to Google it.
Mercury?
In retrograde. It's like an astrological thing that's happening.
Oh, some woo-woo thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're coming out of it. It'd be fine.
That's why I don't understand it.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll leave that there.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Oh, what was that? I just recorded your end conversation there.
Yeah. So we've come to the end of the show.
It's the end of the 13th show and no meteoroids have dropped on our little log cabin.
Oh, we're still here.
Did I speak too soon?
What's that noise? So that's it. So what are you up to this week or next week?
So what? We're actually recording this on the day we're publishing it. We're actually here on Thursday.
We are.
The 21st of November.
This is fresh off the press.
Yes, literally fresh.
Because the day we normally record it, I was at a birth.
Yes, that's it. So we have a whole week. We probably will be recording the next podcast in the beginning of next week.
We are.
So we've got the weekend to talk about. Well, what am I doing this week? I really must clean my house.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I know, it's terrible. I need to do clean everywhere and wash the beddings and...
Wow, rock and roll lifestyle.
I know, I am working on Saturday. I'm running a workshop on Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah, and then I am...
Who's that for?
It's for Heartbeeps.
Oh, Heartbeeps, yeah.
So I'm doing a little workshop with them. And then next week, I am very excited about all the stuff that's going to be happening at the Birth Bliss Academy.
So exciting.
We are working behind the scenes on lots of I think it's exciting stuff.
It is exciting stuff.
And part of that is an accreditation, which I think we've already mentioned.
I think we did mention that last week.
Birth Bliss Academy accreditation, but also that's not just a little bit.
That's just one little piece of all the exciting things that are about to happen.
And what about what you do next week? Still on the Joe Wicks? Are you back on the Joe Wicks?
I'm back on Joe Wicks.
I have Joe Wicks.
Joe Wicks is with me every morning.
Ooh.
I wake up to Joe Wicks.
Lifting weights, sweating together.
Mm. As you do.
What's your husband Paul going to say about that? Shout out.
Not much. Yeah. There's your shout out, Paul. So, yes, I am back doing Joe Wicks every morning. If I can't get it done in the morning, it's really a struggle to do it in the daytime, so I'm trying to do mornings.
So what else are you doing?
Yesterday I went to the Christmas Ideal Home Show.
Oh my god, what was it like?
Rubbish.
Oh
yeah, it's such a shame. I thought it would be all Christmassy stuff.
Yeah,
but no, about 10% of it was, and it was really tacky.
Oh,
so that was really it was. But the only good thing was I sampled every piece of free gin and vodka and wine there was.
Did you go on your own?
I went with friends.
Yeah. Okay, so were you a bit tipply?
Just a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, that warm glow you get.
Yeah.
That I was at that stage.
Did you buy any? Did you find a perfect brand that you enjoyed?
Oh, well, I love Edinburgh gin.
Okay.
But I already have a few bottles still, so all I didn't indulge in any more.
Okay.
But, anyone looking for a really nice smooth gin, I can highly recommend Edinburgh gin.
Oh, is this some kind of an advert?
It's an endorsement. So, Edinburgh gin, if you're listening...
Please send some cases.
Send some samples. Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, so I went round every stall that had alcohol on it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I avoided the cheese stalls. You know how much
I
hate cheese.
Smell of cheese?
My friends bought the most stinkiest cheese, a big slab of it to take home.
Oh my, that's not fair.
And then they kept me downwind of her the entire time. The smell, honestly, was disgusting. We cleared the train carriage.
Oh no.
It was disgusting.
Oh God.
But that's what I did yesterday, so that was good fun.
Sounds good.
And this weekend, don't know, nothing planned. Oh, I'm on call, I've just remembered.
Oh.
I'm back on call.
Oh.
So, yes, I've just finished
one,
and now I'm back on call
for
another one. So I'll be a good girl this weekend.
You are busy.
But there we go.
That sounds like fun. Well, I guess that rounds this up for this week. And there's only one thing to say.
See you next Thursday.
Yeah.
Listeners should always do their own due diligence on any information received from these discussions to form their own opinions and best judgments. In preparing this podcast, we have endeavoured to offer current, correct and clearly expressed information aimed at our audience. However, we make no claims that the information will be accurate, complete or current at all times, and we accept no liability for any reliance placed by any person on this information. We make no representations or warranties of any kind about the suitability, reliability, timeliness and accuracy of the information contained herein.